Tonight, we've got news, but more importantly than that, we've got Spider-Man. Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Catches webs, spins his web, just like flies. That too. We're going to talk so much about Spider-Man that you'd think we were J. Jonah Jameson. The Daily Bugle starts now!
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, that's right.
It's
I
so
love
dramatic.
That. Yeah,
it's, I love like it so much.
It's so serious.
I was going to say, it's the chorus. Like, that's or the unity of so many people singing along.
We once had Stan Lee on a radio show that I worked on, and we played this, and he's like, "You're playing my theme song," which I feel like it is.
Oh, yeah.
He's got radioactive blood. Welcome to Marvel TV Weekly. I'm Christian Blatt, returned, and after the ladies did such a great show last week, I don't think I'll ever be gone again.
Oh, sorry.
Because I felt threatened. That's how good that show was. But anyway, you guys did a great job, so thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
And
we
then
missed you.
There was so much. Yeah. I took so many notes. I had to like comment in the YouTube, which Amy responded to. It was like, oh, you said a lot. I did.
Yeah, but, I was like, I can't go through
wrote a novella.
But great points were brought up.
I tried. Yeah. Anyway, I'm Christian Blatt. This is Zia Landerson.
Hey, guys.
Officially, that's your name.
I'm into it.
Yeah. And Amy Cassandra Martinez.
That is me.
And happy birthday, Caroline.
Yay!
And it's good. For those watching on YouTube, we're bookending the panel with Spidey shirts.
Yes!
So that's good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And we're the two ones in the middle.
Yeah.
Flowers.
Well, I thought I could bring some of my clean extra Spidey shirts, but then I'm like, oh, but they're small, so, the ladies, they're not going to fit
PJ
well.
PJ shirt.
So, yeah. So, it's all right. So, we'll now we're going to start a Kickstarter to get you guys Spidey shirts.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, but you have one.
I could always use more.
Okay.
It's actually kind of uncomfortable to wear. It's like the neck's too high.
Okay.
Yeah,
so new Spidey shirts.
On that. I can't.
New Spidey shirts for everybody. And Carrie is in the chat. So,
yes, we are live in the chat.
We're going to talk a little news up top, but like I said, there's a lot of talk about Spidey. We're going to talk about all of the Spider-Man animated series. The good, the bad, and the,
amazing.
So, yeah, and the amazing.
The
thank
ultimate.
You. Yeah. Yes, that's true. The ultimate, the spectacular.
Spectacular.
And the MTV one, too, which is a little bit of a divisive topic.
I believe it's actually called the new animated Spider-Man.
No, it was called the new animated Spider-Man.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yes. Well, they wanted to call it, we'll get into it, but they called it that because they wanted to differentiate it from, the good animated series. From the but anyway, so let's start off with some news. We have, right after last week's show, I think they announced that Runaways Season 2 is going to drop on December 21st, the whole season, not like they did last year.
Oh, boy.
And there was a little teaser trailer as well. And it's going to drop 4 days before Christmas, so I don't know when they think I'm going to watch it.
I know.
But,
Oh, wow.
Well, Boxing Day, perhaps. Like, starting on the 26th, maybe. But it's like, I'm going to be shopping, I'm going to be wrapping, and,
There's New Year's after that, and then there's things in between that.
I mean, I've got two kids, so, New Year's isn't a thing. But I get for the rest of you, that's probably a problem, yeah.
That's New Year's marathon. Duh.
Oh. Yeah. We're not going anywhere. We're just watching The Runaways.
That's right.
Best thing ever,
so,
marathon.
I don't remember. Anthony, is this something where... Oh, and in the booth, of course, Tony B. Tony. Is this something we can play without sound or with sound? Or what's the rules on trailers? I don't remember. I'm sorry. Okay, let's hear a little bit of it, and then we'll talk a little bit more. Hey, it's a commercial.
Oh, I love this commercial.
It is good. Because who wants to eat their broccoli when there's French fries?
I mean, potatoes are vegetables.
Hey, guys. We know you've been worried since we ran away.
I was worried.
We can't tell you where we are, but we're
so cool.
Safe and together.
But thank
surviving God. Out here has not been easy.
We're trying to raise a dinosaur with the self-esteem and a strong moral compass.
You're receiving this message. Please listen. Something big is coming December 21st.
And we need you to let everyone know. Everyone that we trust, that is. Pride has eyes and ears everywhere. We're in danger. And now that we've told you about it, you're in danger, too.
Oh, no.
That's not cool, guys.
Do not forget, December 21st, Runaways.
That's right. Right where we left them, at the bus depot. Which, that's some shoddy set dressing, because it looks like it's a Home Depot, and they just put the word bus over the home. But that's all right. So it's very exciting, because the show is coming back the entire second season. Is coming back much less than a year from season one.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm just glad this teaser kind of makes it seem like right after. Because someone having unnaturally colored hair, I'm like, Gert, man, you can't maintain that purple hair. Damn, girl, what products do you use?
Well, probably dinosaur-based products.
Yeah, right?
So that's exciting, though, because, one, it's going to, you know, you're going to be able to binge it, but then it's going to be back so much sooner than I thought. So woo-hoo! What that really means is, Zia, I guess you got to get to watching season one.
Yes, and me too.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Oh, my goodness.
I forgot you came on the show after it was over.
That's what I was wondering, because she saw the raptor. She saw the raptor. She was like, what?
I was like,
I'm just going to play
along. Dinosaurs?
Why are there dinosaurs?
Yeah, like Jurassic Park.
You're going to have fun.
Yeah, it's
a good show.
It's 10 episodes, too.
It is a slow-ish burn at the beginning, I'll tell you that. Because, again, it's similar to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in terms of it's a superpower show, but you don't get to the superpowers till a little bit in it.
Okay.
But that's something, like, I wish I had kind of known, because I'm like, I want the superpowers. Where are they?
The smart thing they did is it was mostly a weekly show, but the first three went out of the first day.
That
really helped, because if those had been over 3 weeks, it would have been infuriating. But, you know, like Cloak and Dagger, it's 10 episodes. And as much as we love the Netflix shows, I think we've all said that there are some of those seasons would have been so much better if it was only 10.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a strong 10-episode season. And when it ended, I'm like, no, this isn't the time to end. This is the time for more, which is what you want. You don't want finally, it's over. So very exciting for that, and we'll be able to check that out very soon. And who knows? Maybe we'll get our friend Ryan Sands to come back on the panel and talk about
it.
Nice. Yeah, he's one of the dads on the show.
But, yes.
Anyway, so we've got that coming, and much sooner than that, we have Iron Fist Season 2, as we mentioned, on September 7th, and we have a new teaser trailer, where we actually get to see Davos as the Steel Serpent. I almost called him the Silver Serpent, and I knew that was wrong. Which is a character from Iron Fist lore, also from Kunlun, but did not defeat the dragon, so he is not
the Iron
Fist.
He's very bitter
about
it.
What
was
that
date again?
He's not. It is September 7th.
Really coming up.
Coming
so if I wanted to read any of that comic, need to blaze through that real quick.
Yeah. You know, but you don't have to, though. I mean, it's like, you know.
I was trying to read some of it, but Cloak and Dagger, I'm going through slowly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it's good. So if we can, how long is this, Anthony, does it say?
2 minutes and 20.
Okay, so we're not going to show the whole thing, but let's just get it started. We'll watch, I don't know, about a minute, but we'll start chiming in and when we see. And this is serious, Danny, this part. You know.
Barely sleep when you are home.
And Colleen's obviously worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
How many times a night you light that fist up?
Not enough. That's the real answer. Yeah.
But I could see him do that.
How much you're pushing yourself.
Just a lot.
To keep the peace.
Or practice. Before he could do it and then was out for a while.
I know. His chi never worked in the first season.
Yeah.
So finally he's got his chi and Colleen's on his case.
That looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I know.
I like that.
But I'm just
the yellow streak.
And the thing we need is when Davos / Steel Serpent shows up, because that's when we're gonna really get to see the look.
I'm already feeling this choreography too, though.
That it's better than season
you
one.
Can already
yeah,
see
I
it.
I think they made a point to showcase it.
Yeah.
So it's all very exciting. Here it is. Yeah. There's the yellow mask. Finally. It's all we really need. They can skip the slippers. We don't need the slippers.
You know, I saw an article. They were talking about how the yellow mask doesn't transfer onto film, but I disagree.
I mean, it looks great here.
I think it looks great.
Yeah.
Now you'll give me what's mine, brother.
Yes, this is pretty serious. And I love the red Steel Serpent fist. So we got double the fists.
Davos wanted it.
Fist that, against fist.
Does that mean you should two-fist it while you're watching it? Totally holding two drinks?
Yeah, double fisting.
Yes.
Yeah. And just in case you forget, Colleen and Misty.
Oh, that could be the best drinking game. Whenever anyone gets hit with the red fist, you drink one hand. If anyone gets hit with the yellow fist, you drink the other hand.
And, there you go.
And whenever Danny says that he defeated the dragon in Kunlun, you finish your drink.
You finish it, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going to be really
you'll be blacked
hammered.
Out by episode
yes.
4. Anyway, very excited for Iron Fist season 2.
I'm much more excited for season 2 than I was for season 1.
I think,
one.
Carrie, they heard you, but you know, not necessarily only you, but you're, what you're saying is what a lot of people said. And what Zia mentioned, the choreography. These are all things, they know what people's problems were with season one.
They fixed it. I admire that.
Do you know what, you know what we don't see in any of the trailers? We don't see Ward. We don't see Joy. I believe that they'll probably be in it, but the supporting cast was a pretty big problem.
You see Joy very briefly.
You know what, you're right. You do. You do see her very briefly. They're not featured.
No.
Yeah. And whereas even in the trailer for season one, they were in it a lot. And they're just like, no, this is about like cool like fighting and you know, iron fisting and all this stuff.
Inken TV says double the fist.
Double the fist. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And with our theme of Spider-Man today, Christian Jackson points out, Iron Fist season 2 comes out the same day as Spider-Man PS4, the game comes out.
Hey.
I hope that that's a game that our friend Michael Shirley will be playing, because his role in the show will be to Skype in and play Marvel, let us know about the new Marvel video game. Well, so hopefully
he doesn't have a PS4.
So that's going to be a problem then. Do you have a PS4, Anthony?
Yeah, I do.
All right, good.
So you can
take that job from him. He's busy in Tennessee anyway. So
okay.
So anyway, very excited about that, and I think the consensus is, you know, look, I liked season one, but I'm more excited for season two. This
definitely
looks great.
Yes.
And I don't know how I'm going to fit it in that weekend, but I want to just, like, watch it all.
The one thing I didn't like about that trailer, I feel like they showed too much in the trailer.
They show a lot.
They showed so much. I'm like, I feel like I know the entire story.
Well, maybe it just seems
more,
that way.
Yeah.
There's probably a
I'm
lot
hoping.
More. But they really, I don't know, don't leave anything on the table, because they know that people are a little apprehensive about this character. They're like, let's put our best foot forward.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that they see how awesome this season's going to be. So let us know if you're more excited for Iron Fist Season 2, if you're watching in the live chat or the archived YouTube comments after the fact. Not really much to say on the one other item in the news, which is every indication in the past week is that James Gunn will not be coming back for Guardians 3. I feel like they're probably going to use his script, and if his name doesn't appear on it, it's probably because they're going to throw a lot of money at him and they make him use a pseudonym, you know, because it's like they had a finished script. They probably spent a ton of money and it probably works. You know, I did agree with something that Anthony said last week. I don't think it's going to be disastrous for him to not direct this movie, because I loved the first Guardians and I liked the second one, but there was a pretty sharp decline between the two of them.
Mm. Yeah.
And I just feel like, you know what, let's have somebody else do the third
one.
Even
with Kurt Russell there.
Yeah, like, I know, it's true. I do love Kurt Russell.
It just didn't really have like the emotional gravitas as like the first one did, in my opinion.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So
the second one really...
It spoke to you? Was it,
I think both of them
Was it because of the Dairy Queen product placement? Is that really what got
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
and
what I thought.
I hate Dairy Queen.
I
hate it.
No,
I'm
Blizzard.
Sorry. I'm sorry,
no,
to,
Blizzard.
I'm sorry to introduce that this is our last show with Amy. We're so sad. We're gonna, it's going to be so sad to
Why
see you go.
Why do you hate dairy? Food poisoning.
Okay.
Every single time.
Kind of legit. No,
that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's a
time.
Very specific
By the way,
hatred.
It also wouldn't stop me, but just maybe for a little while.
Well, I haven't been to Burger King in about 15 years because of food poisoning, so I get it.
But if they would like to sponsor the show, Zia will go there. We'll all go there. We'll have a meal after every show.
A Whopper and a Dairy Queen.
Speaking of product placement and sharing some news with people.
Yes. Well, hey, After Buzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans like you. But we do need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help us continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, none of us likes those, don't be worried, because they're totally optional. So all you need to do is hit that subscribe button for now, do it right now. Right now.
She's waiting.
She's waiting.
We're all waiting.
Right now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments down below, and we'll thank you out on air. On air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Thank you, Amy.
Well, thank you.
You mentioned what are people saying for Iron Fist. Ghost8386 in the chat said, I enjoyed Iron Fist Season 1 and I am hyped for Iron Fist Season 2.
All right.
Christian Jackson says, same, referring back to them, but still hoping Season 2 is better than 1.
Definitely agree.
Oh, yeah.
Having less of Ward and Joy and all, that'll help. That was definitely my problem. More Colleen, which it seems like we're going to get.
And Misty.
And Misty, too.
Yay, so we're getting Colleen and Misty. I'm so excited for the team up.
Very excited about all that. And we have a few more weeks to get all hyped up for Iron Fist and binge it. But so our main overall topic for this week is indeed the amazing, spectacular Spider-Man. Da-da, and we are going to talk about him because right now, the only first-run Marvel series of any kind that's on with new episodes is Marvel's Spider-Man, which I like to think of as Disney's Marvel's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's on Disney XD, and it's very kid-friendly, but not my kid, who's three. So it's like, because I was watching it, I'm like, I can't watch this with him. It's a little, the stakes are too high. There's people who might die, and I'm just like, I don't need any of these conversations.
Too dark, too dark.
Yeah, but, and it's very kid-friendly. But what I do like about that show is some of the guest appearances, like Kamal Khan, if I said her name right, that Ms. Marvel showed up in an episode, and some great villains and stuff like that. So,
I saw that episode.
Yeah, I think it's great to see some of the villains. Like, mm-hmm. like there's a fairly obscure character named Spot who shows up in a four-part episode that's called Here Come the Supervillains or something. And anyway, so the show's kind of fun. It's very light. And I have a lot of problems with some of the continuity things, like Spider-Man and Peter Parker and Miles Morales are both Spider-Man on the show, which I do have like a fundamental problem with. But and Anthony, I think I had this conversation with you when I started watching it. Miles was on, but I didn't know he was Spider-Man yet because I started in season two, and I'm like, is he Spider-Man? Is he a Spider-Man?
Yeah.
And then there he is sometimes. And I'm like, all right, so this would help if I'd watched the first season, I suppose.
Yeah, I was able to watch that episode where he becomes a Spider-Man, and he's like really reckless, and then Peter's like, no, I need to teach you how to do this. And he's like, no, I want to go beat up our bully because we need to teach him a lesson. And so it was like Spidey teaching him all about like with great power comes great responsibility and all that jive.
With season two, episode six, both he and Spider-Man are fighting Venom.
Yes, they both fight Venom. Yeah,
which is it was so trippy to see.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool to see Venom as well. Yeah. I thought that. I mean, he was in the 90s animated series, but so they have a lot of good characters mm-hmm. in here, and they have the Avengers show up because it's animated, and you don't have to worry about the rights that they do with movies. So that's actually. Well, now Spider-Man can hang out with the Avengers. But that doesn't mean you couldn't even see the X-Men, maybe. But anyway, so we're going to go chronologically, even though we just talked about the new one. We're going to go back, and we're going to chronologically talk about all of the different Spider-Man animated series. And then we're each going to pick a favorite. So when someone's favorite comes up, we will talk about it. So we're going to start with the 1969 series, just called Spider-Man, which, as it turns out, is Amy Cassandra Martinez's your favorite, which is fascinating.
Yeah, and it was actually funny that you said first, because, yes, that was the first introduction I had to any kind of animated Spider-Man.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Well, it is for me, because when I was really little, the Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends wasn't even on yet. This was always in reruns, and I would see it in the mornings, just as a kid. So this was the first thing that I saw. But so you saw this one. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting.
When I say the first one, I mean in this last week.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Ever.
Oh, so you've
never seen any animated shows? Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I was like, where did you see this?
Yeah,
and how? Because I'd never seen it.
Yeah, because it was on, it was just on, like, broadcast TV as a rerun, in the morning, and I would see it. And there weren't that many episodes. There were three seasons. And the interesting thing is, from season two onward, it was animated by Ralph Bakshi, who is very well known for making Fritz the Cat. And then there was a movie that mixed animation and live action called Cool World.
I was going to say Cool World. Yes. That's right.
Yeah, Cool World.
That's a good one. And that's Ralph Bakshi's animation in it. Yeah. So, and he did this fairly subversive version of Mighty Mouse in the late 80s as well. It doesn't look like his style, but and it's very rudimentary. It's very simple animation. It's very cheap. It actually talks about on the wiki for the series, it talks about that they would reuse background animation and characters, and they actually took there was apparently a show called Rocket Robin Hood, which sounds, of course, amazing.
Never heard
but
of that.
They, right, me either. But they reused all the background animation, some characters, and even a storyline for an episode of that Spider-Man. What I didn't like about it when I saw it, because I remember, you know, Carrie always talks about taking, you know, comic books out of the library. There would be, like, VHS tapes of multiple episodes at my library, and I'd bring them home, and they weren't super enough. They were like these villains that weren't real villains from the comics, even like from the 5 years that existed at that point. And I was like, well, there are episodes with like the Green Goblin and stuff, but there's a lot of episodes that don't have the real villains. So I'm like, well, where's like, who, you know, where's the Rhino? Where's, you know, Sandman? Where's all these guys? So I felt like the show was a little, I don't know, it was just a little too simple, and they kind of missed the opportunity. It was just a lot of green villains that weren't the Green Goblin. But Amy, what did you like about the show when you saw it?
Well, the animation's just like so old school.
It's very old school, yeah.
And it's so cool to me that that's like the first Spider-Man, like animated Spider-Man, to be shown on screen. So that whole feel for me made it my favorite one, because it's like started from there, now we're here.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. Also, I mean, the music is just like super 60s.
That was my favorite.
I mean, that Spider-Man theme song is amazing.
Awesome.
I'm stunned that Zia, you'd never heard that song.
I've never heard it.
Wow.
I was so annoying days after watching that. I was just walking around the house singing that song. My fiance was like, oh my God, shut up.
I feel that one's classic. Like, even if you didn't watch it, it's still played somewhere.
I just missed it.
That was one of the first short videos that I would let my son, who's three now, I would let him watch. You know, we would watch like the 60-second opening of that. And he loved that song. And I was telling Zia about it. He used to have these Spider-Man pajamas where he had the webs under his arm.
That's so cool.
Like cleany pajamas. And so he would like run out holding my phone to the theme song to like a big room full of relatives. It was very adorable. Aww. So, but the funny thing is, like, I played that song not that long ago, you know, putting together notes and stuff. And what he remembered is he said to me, it's like, we listened to that on the computer. I'm like, that's right, because I used to sit him on my lap and we look at the computer. Now it's like, you know, the iPad, the phones and stuff. But we used to sit at this very laptop and we'd watch it. So it's a great song. And that's the big takeaway from that series, is how great that song is.
Yeah.
There are a couple of other versions of that song that maybe we'll use in the weeks ahead whenever we talk about Spider-Man. There's a cover that the Ramones did.
Ooh,
and there's also a Michael Bublé version, which is fun, but the Ramones version is way better. But it's from, I think, Spider-Man 2, the one with Doc Ock. Anyway, so that...
The best one.
What's that? The best one. Yeah, the best Spider-Man movie that was made. One of the best superhero movies that was made. So anyway, that was the first series.
You heard that, Amy?
Thank you for commenting on the last video and Amy's opinions on it.
Yeah, no, that's great. I love it when you guys share your opinions in the comments down below.
I do think that people should give a fair shake to the Andrew Garfield movies.
Yes.
especially to watch Peter and Gwen. You know, like I just like Peter and Gwen Stacy. But anyway, so
I like those ones. I like those movies. Yeah.
The next Spider-Man series that they did was just called Spider-Man. It was in 1981, and it was on NBC Saturday mornings. And it was paired up with a Hulk syndicated, not syndicated, but it was paired up with a Hulk cartoon. And it was okay. It had some familiar faces like the Green Goblin and stuff. But after a year, they were like, no, this doesn't quite work. So it morphed into Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, which is my choice for my favorite Spider-Man series.
Ooh.
Not because it's the best, but because that was the one that I just really loved. And that really had a lot to do with my love for superheroes, but specifically my love for Spider-Man. I would say Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends and the Super Friends are the two reasons that I liked. And the Super Friends is awful, but you know, it had basically the Justice League on it. And so Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends and all the guest stars, that was a very important show to me. Look, the 90s Spider-Man animated series is way better. It's like that's the best. But my favorite is Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. And there's a couple of great episodes that I've mentioned before on here, which include include seven little superheroes that have, well, six guest stars or four guest stars. Mm-hmm. And there's an episode with the X-Men as well. So so those are kind of fun. There's an episode with S.H.I.E.L.D., not the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast that we love, but Nick Fury. Nick Fury, who looks more like David Hasselhoff than... I don't know. That was a fun show, and I just really liked it as a kid, and it reran for a long time, just like the 60s Spider-Man did. I mean, there wasn't another Spider-Man show for almost 15 years after that 60s one, because it just kept running. They would just rerun it all the time. So it's like, well, what do we need more Spider-Man for? And eventually they're like, well, maybe because we can animate better now. So that brings us to the 1994 Spider-Man, also known as Spider-Man the Animated Series. This is a favorite of two people here. There it is.
Okay.
This is a favorite of two people on the panel, the other two whose favorites haven't gone. And to me, I will say it is the best. It is definitely the best series. Totally. So it's just so well done. And it was really true to the spirit of Spider-Man. And they used a lot of storylines, much like the X-Men animated series from the same time period, really was inspired by the comics. And they kind of followed the blueprint pretty closely. A lot of kids' superheroes stories would be like, oh, yeah, we're not going to do anything that like what worked in the comics. We're going to dumb it down because kids are stupid. And in the 90s, you started like taking, you know, giving kids a little bit more credit with, you know, obviously different universe, but the Batman and Superman animated series from DC were both great as well, all at the same time period in the early 90s. But I wanted to let Zia and Carrie talk about why this one is their favorite. Carrie? Because since you're the birthday girl, you go first.
Oh, thank you. Well, also, I did want to say Ink and TV agrees with you, saying Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was their favorite as well.
Oh, you know, a little footnote to that, by the way. The character Firestar was created for Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Oh.
And then later was introduced in Marvel Comics because she had been so popular. It took years, but she first showed up in Uncanny X-Men 193. Now, there is another instance of a character from an animated series being so popular that they were then introduced in the comics and became canon. And does anybody have an idea who it is? Anyone in the class? It's a show that I just mentioned.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No.
Is it the X-Men animated series?
No. Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn
first showed up in Batman the Animated Series and was such a popular character. They started putting her in comics and in movies.
Really?
So, yeah.
I was going to say Batman Beyond was my favorite Batman. One of my
that one was good, too. No, I did like that. But anyway.
I mean, the regular Batman was good, too. So, anyways, back
to you and why Spider-Man's your favorite.
I think the 90s cartoon, which most 90s cartoon, was kind of the golden age of cartoons because by then the art style was just so much better because the older cartoons could have maybe had good plot and everything, but I wanted to be a cartoon artist when I was a kid, so I really liked the visual aesthetic of shows. I still do. So I'm like, it's not very clean. Like, the animation itself is very choppy, so by the 90s, it's smooth animation. The quality is really good. Though, watching as a child, I pretty much thought Spider-Man was in college, though he's, like, in high school. Because the way they looked, I'm like, yeah, they're totally in college,
yeah,
right?
They're very, even in the 60s and 80s version, they're very, like, big.
Very
and
muscular.
Yeah. Giant,
well-dressed.
Really. Yes.
And, I thought that one was just very fun. Great introduction to a lot of characters. They did really good stories. And it definitely stuck with me. That was one that I enjoyed watching. So I'd say that one's the best one.
Yeah, and they did a really good job.
And they didn't really dumb it down.
No, they didn't.
They didn't. Yeah. And they did, you know, multi-episode storylines just like the X-Men did, which you didn't really get a lot from, especially Saturday morning cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
You really didn't see it. And both Spider-Man and X-Men would do that. And sometimes it's like four or five parts.
And the X-Men cartoon was so great, too. And
yes.
Because in comparison, which we'll get to it later, but the Disney XD one, it made me kind of want to rewatch the 90s one.
Yeah.
Because I want to know, did I think it was child? Because I felt that the Disney one's a little bit too kiddie for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm curious how the 90s one is now.
I watched a couple. And it's
cheesy-ish?
No. I mean, it is, but not like...
Not the same,
not at all.
Well, I think the 90s one probably catered more to the, like, 12 to 14 range.
Yeah, I would say that's about
And the Disney XD is a little more the 9 to 10.
Yeah.
Also, real quick, Zia, since you recently saw, I wasn't able to watch these than you. I wasn't able to watch it recently, mm-hmm. but someone pointed out to me that like these are that show is for like someone who has ADHD because of how fast the pacing is. Like, did you notice
that? Maybe that's why.
The 90s
Spider-Man show is super fast-paced.
Maybe that's why I like it.
Quick. It was really quick. If you guys haven't noticed that before.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, man, I got to stop this villain. And it goes cuts to a different scene. It's just, like, constant motion and super fast.
Yeah.
So
you get actual action in it.
And so are those some of the high points for you with that series?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The art style was a big thing for me, obviously. The storylines were great. You get awesome villains. The voice acting feels more natural and less acted. Like, it's Firestar! It finally feels normal. Yeah. Like, it just feels like they're normal people. Conversational, yeah.
And in... sorry to check.
No, they're
Disney
good.
One, too, it feels... It's a little bit of that overacting for kids. Just a little bit. Not horrible. But this one, yeah, the 90s just feels like natural. Normal talking.
Yeah. And I like the little jokes that Peter gets. Yeah. It's very much... You see Peter's personality in it. Mm-hmm. And so he gets to throw in his little jokes here and there.
Yes.
They're a little bit cheesy, but I love them because it's him. And also, that's the first one that I saw. So it was, again, my Saturday mornings growing up was that. So it's nostalgia as well. But I still think that's the best one.
But, Amy, have you seen much of that one? Because you're only just now starting to watch the animated shows. Or...
I haven't seen that one. Okay. I saw another one that we'll get to.
But, yeah, I'd say that's the best, for sure. The gold standard. And if there were ever a show quite like this again, that'd be perfect.
I agree.
I feel like this will be on Disney streaming service, just like the X-Men animated series will. Mm-hmm. I think probably all of these will be on Disney streaming service, which would be great.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah?
So,
you can pay for some of them now on Amazon Prime.
Yes. By the way, I almost did.
I did.
And then I stopped myself because I'm like, I'm not going to have time to watch the whole season of one of these, but so I watched something for free on YouTube.
Well, we're about to get to it, but where'd it go? Orlando Williams in the chat says it's all about the Spider-Man MTV series, as it was aimed more towards teens and adults.
We'll talk about that in a minute, because in between Spider-Man and that is Spider-Man Unlimited, which is essentially considered to be the sixth season of the original Spider-Man, but it's a completely different concept, and it is not good.
That one's kind of dumbed the art down, right?
Yeah.
The eyes were literally just two lines with... So like dots in the
style is cheaper, and just the whole concept it's just
lasted
bad.
A season.
Yeah, and episodes. He's transported to like a counter Earth, and there's no reason for any of that.
Yeah,
and I didn't like. I watched the first one, and I was just like, nah, I'm not into. Yeah. I didn't even remember that series existing, in all honesty. And I was just like, I'm not feeling this one.
The colors were very bright, but not in a good way.
Yeah, and
high contrast.
Yeah, it just didn't work. Let's put it that way. I'm just gonna go right now and say this is the worst one. Yeah, Spider-Man Unlimited out of all of them.
I did like his costume though.
Yeah,
about it.
That's true.
Ghost 8386 agrees with us that the favorite Spider-Man was the 94 TV one.
Nice.
So then we have Spider-Man the new animated series from 2003, which they call it.
Oh, this one's fresh in my mind.
Yeah. So this is the one that's for MTV, and the one that I watched, I don't know if it's the first one, but Spider-Man encounters someone who is basically stealing from someone's house their MTV Movie Award, which I thought was kind of a funny nod to the fact that something. Yeah, I thought that was a... So the most interesting thing about this series is... that Neil Patrick Harris is the voice of Peter and Spider-Man. What? I really like him as Spider-Man.
Really?
He was really funny. He has the right tone because Neil Patrick Harris is very funny.
Yeah.
His Peter is just okay. But him as Spider-Man was really funny. I liked the way he was interacting. It tries to be a little racy. Like Spider-Man says, "Damn it!" at one point. It's a little, it's a little sexed up. In all honesty, they're in college. Peter and MJ and Harry Osborn, voiced by Ian Ziering, who some people know from 90210, but more people know in this day and age from Sharknado. So
oh,
that
boy.
Yeah, that's Ian's earring as Harry Osborn. But in any case, this is the series that I almost bought all 13 of them, and I'm like, when am I going to watch all 13 of these? But I kind of want to see them because I know that there are episodes with the Kingpin, and the Kingpin is voiced by Michael Clark Duncan, who was the Kingpin in the Daredevil movie.
I saw one of those episodes. Yeah.
So I'm kind of interested in that. I think this is an interesting attempt to try and do something different. It only lasted one season because I think MTV Spider-Man animated series, I don't think it was a marriage that made sense. Yeah, what were your thoughts? We were talking before, Zia. What did you think about this one?
Personally, I was not a big fan. That style made me feel like I was watching The Sims that they modded to make into Spider-Man. So that's what I felt like when I was watching, and I couldn't get past that. I hated MJ with the short hair.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I was not into that.
New Disney, I don't like Cat.
The black cat
with the short hair.
Yeah, I'm not down with that either.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
It's not a cute cut.
No.
It's true.
Not cute short hair.
Yeah.
So that was kind of hard for me. The story, I also agree, I like Neil Patrick Harris. I couldn't hear it at first. I couldn't hear that it was him. And then as the episode that I was watching went on, I was like, okay, I hear it now. But I thought that he did a great job with that. But as far as the story goes, it's not bad. Like,
but the criticism is that they didn't use a lot of the real Spidey villains. They created similar villains. And so that has me not in quite as much of a rush. But I do like him as Spidey, so I'd like to see these. And I do want to see more. I love the Kingpin, which might be something we talk about in a couple of minutes. So let's move to 2008 Spectacular Spider-Man, which... right there is Anthony's favorite.
Really?
And the reason
it's not my favorite, but I just think
you really like this one.
I really like this one.
And one of the reasons why this one works is they tried to really stick to the very beginning of Spider-Man. There was the run that Stan Lee and Steve Ditko and then later John Romita had in The Amazing Spider-Man. And that was the original concept for the 2003 Spider-Man, but then, you know, it went to MTV and they abandoned that concept. So it was good to stick pretty close to the stories. But then there's also the Michael Bendis, Mark Bagley, Ultimate Spider-Man. So these are sort of all paired together. And there were two seasons, so there's 26 episodes. This is one of those things that happens with, when rights change and all this stuff and Disney, you know, getting involved. The other two that we'll talk about quickly are also Disney series. But Anthony, this isn't necessarily your favorite, but what is it about this series that stands out? Because I know you've talked about this a couple times.
You said it only had two seasons?
It says right here that there were two seasons, each containing 13 episodes, so that's 26 episodes.
No, there's like about four or five seasons, I believe. But yeah, it's kind of like take all the best bits of the 90s original animated series and like trim all the fat, update all the animation, and that's what you get in Spectacular Spider-Man. Like, it has all the greatest arcs that he goes through, starting from the beginning when he turns into Spider-Man until like the Sinister Six is like probably like the last season and that's like the main focus of it. And it was just, I just remember it being so good because of how just like how they respected the character and like how they went through the arcs. Like, I believe they were paired in two. I believe like they were.
Yeah.
Like,
are you sure you're not thinking of Ultimate Spider-Man? Because that was four seasons. That's from 2012. And that was for Disney XD.
Ultimate Spider-Man, I liked much, much better than Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah. Spectacular Spider-Man. That's the other one I saw. The animation bothered.
Yeah.
The eyes.
I hated it. The eyes. Oh, no. Yes.
This might be the one. Because I think this one was for, I don't actually know where it aired. Was it
Spectacular?
Was it CW or something?
Okay. It might have been just two seasons. As well, but I remember that was just like best two seasons I ever seen.
Okay.
I just remember it, reviewing it as a kid. I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is like, because I have seen like the previous Spider-Mans too, and I was like, this is probably my second favorite. Okay. That's even better because it's as shorter, and just watch it, and it's pretty damn good.
No, I do want to see these, and I'm kind of holding out hope by not buying these seasons. I'm like, well, let's see what's on the Disney app because the new Disney streaming service.
Yeah, I believe
because if all of these things are on there, I will definitely watch all of them, and I will scour these episodes to find ones I can watch with my son when he's finally old enough.
It aired on the CW.
Okay, that's what I said. Saturday, I thought it was that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get up to the modern times. Well, Ultimate Spider-Man was also for Disney XD, and And this is interesting because it's a little bit sillier. It's very jokey, and he definitely breaks the third wall.
He talks to the camera.
Fourth wall.
Yes.
Fourth.
I said, he does. Third and fourth wall. Right? He breaks all the walls because he can stick to them. Yeah, the fourth wall. Yeah. This one used to be on Netflix, and so I actually watched a bunch of them, I don't know, like a year or two ago. And, you know, there's episodes with Guardians of the Galaxy. There's a lot of great guest stars.
That's
and
cool. I watched that one.
You were talking, and you were talking about one with Iron Fist?
With the end of that one, when they come back. Oh, Iron Fist and Power Man are there at the end.
Which
and
is great.
I also really, really love how they put comic book panels into the episode.
Yeah,
really
that style
awesome.
Was really.
I
the
like
style
it.
For this one was good. I liked this one a lot.
Definitely
and
my second favorite.
It is actually the longest running Marvel cartoon. There were 104 episodes.
Wow.
So I think that has something to do with why they ended it. And I think that they were just like, you know, look, Disney's a corporation. They're like, yeah, this one's good. Let's go ahead and young it down a little bit so we can have more of our core audience actually watching this. Something that pairs up well with DuckTales. Which my son does watch.
Wait.
See, DuckTales I didn't feel was dumbed down, though.
The new DuckTales?
I don't think so either. Oh, I don't know about the new
DuckTales. The new DuckTales isn't dumbed down. Okay. No, David Tennant's Uncle Scrooge.
Not.
Yeah. So David I'm just saying Tennant. It might be worth checking out. Yeah. But anyway, okay. I like it. It's fun. What were you going to say, Anthony?
I just wanted to, like, the problem I had about with Ultimate Spider-Man was just, like, the stupid cutaways for the jokes.
Yeah, that it was like really, Family Guy.
Yeah, that really annoyed the crap out of me.
I liked that.
I hated that so much.
The first time I saw that, I'm like, oh, is this episode trying to be like Family Guy? And then you're like, oh, no, they're all like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess, look, they were having fun. What do you want? But I think what this has in common, Ultimate Spider-Man and the current Marvel Spider-Man, is just getting so many characters from the Marvel Universe in there. And that's fun to watch and see.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the episode with the Guardians of the Galaxy, watch it just for Groot.
That's true.
Just for Groot.
That was the first
it's
one
so
I watched.
Because
I looked, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of seasons of this. I'm like, oh, Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah, Groot.
Well, and that's why, because you sent it out and you're like, you know, there's fun ones, Guardians of the Galaxy. And I was like, oh, cool,
so
yeah, that one.
Where did you see it now? Did you pay for it on Amazon?
I paid
Amazon?
For it on Amazon. Yeah, I did.
I was trying to catch you for streaming it illegally or something. No.
I pay for my things, guys.
That's good.
All of them.
Gotta pay for everything. anyway, so we can talk a little bit more about the current Spider-Man in the next couple weeks because it will be the only show. But I don't know. It's very young. I have some fundamental problems with the concept of the show, like I was saying. But I enjoy watching it because I like to see all the guests. Because we're almost out of time, we need to get to our favorite Spider-Man villains, and fortunately, there's a lot of common ground amongst all of us.
I noticed that. We all have similar number, similar order and everything.
Yeah.
Except mine.
Yeah, no, it's good. I'm glad.
But then
I'm glad yours was different.
All of yours, I'm like, wait, what about so-and-so?
And you mentioned some good ones.
Good call. Yeah.
So, let's see if I have this right. Yeah. So, Amy, Zia, and myself all have number three, Dr. Octopus, who is in Spider-Man 2 and is one of the reasons why I think that movie is so good.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, Alfred Molina was great, but also he's just he's a fully realized Spider-Man villain. I had some problems with Green Goblin in the first one. It didn't translate too well, especially with the crazy armor. But anyway, that's just me. I don't know. I loved seeing him. And, you know, for those of you watching on YouTube, you're seeing an image from Amazing Spider-Man 131. The reason why he's such a great villain, he went so far as to try and marry Aunt May once upon a time.
Oh.
That's how dastardly he is.
I need to read that one.
Yeah. It's and you can get that on Marvel Unlimited. I'm sure it's out there. But anyway, so that's just sort of Amy, what is it about Dr. Octopus for you?
He really annoyed me, so I knew he was doing a really good job as a villain.
It's a great call.
It's just so and kind of gross, like the scene where you see all of the, I guess, tentacles kind of come out is disgusting. I'm like, ew, but yay.
But
good job. And yeah, he is phenomenal.
Zia, what about Dr. Octopus for you? Doc Ock, as we call him.
It's really how dastardly and evil he is. Yeah. I feel like you really need that in a villain.
Yeah, well, and when you get caught up on Marvel's Spider-Man, Doc Ock features very heavily into the episodes airing literally right now. So that'll very be nice. That's fun to see him still there. Yeah, there's just so much great stuff in Spider-Man 2.
That's such a good
film. Look at this.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, I know. And this is, I don't know, you're making me just want to watch this whole movie again.
I was just going to say that. I want to go back and rewatch this.
It's been years for me, so I really need to watch this.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
It's,
I didn't love Kirsten Stewart as
Dunst. Kirsten Stewart would have been awful. That would have been the worst thing ever. Yeah.
No, Kirsten Dunst, I mean, she's adorable. She's a pretty lady, and I don't know, just something about her was not.
She didn't feel like MJ.
I agree.
Like, MJ needs a little more sass.
Right. She needs some more sexuality, too. I feel like she was just confidence. Like a very, like,
because she's a model, and I just feel like Kirsten's a little bit more.
Well, she's not a model yet. Girl at next this point, door. But I know what you mean. Yeah. She's literally the girl next door. Yeah. So,
she needs a little more edge.
I agree.
But, didn't hate and her. And she gets to feature pretty heavily into this sequence for those watching on YouTube that we could see with Doc Ock. And this is just so well done. And again, when you get it, you know, the first two movies have, you know, you have Alfred Molina and.
He's a great actor.
Yeah, he's great. And you have Willem Dafoe in the first one. They cast the villains really well.
Yes.
You know, Willem Dafoe as Norman Osborn was great. I didn't love the Green Goblin armor, but
That's not his fault.
Ink and TV in the chat agrees Doc Ock was, or says Doc Ock was the first villain to beat Spidey.
True.
And then Christian Jackson says, same, I need to rewatch.
For me, I'm going to do my number two and then my number one, and then we'll circle back, but you'll see why. So my number two is someone that a lot of people think of as a Daredevil villain, but I swear to you, he's a great Spider-Man villain. And that is Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, who was introduced as a Spider-Man villain. He just sort of transitioned to dealing with Daredevil. I believe Amazing Spider-Man number 50. Did not do the research on that. I'm just guessing. But, it's funny because I had read a comment recently that, you know, he only really turned into a bad guy when he started dealing with Daredevil. But he was a huge thorn in Spidey's life.
Yes.
And from the 60s onward. And there's, there's plenty of great instances of that. And, that one right there, Anthony,
He was in the 90s cartoon.
Yeah. This is just one image that I just came across that I liked is because he's like, you know, he's stepping on Spider-Man. He's like, I'm going to smash you with this couch. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you could do a lot worse. But I don't know. I just always thought he was this really cool, imposing, you know, great, you know, crime lord, basically. So I think he's a great character. I really like him as a Spidey villain. But of course, he's fully realized as a Daredevil villain. I'm not trying to count that short, but I think of him as a Spidey villain. So then my number one is the same number two that Amy and Zia have, which is, in fact, the Green Goblin. And Zia, I will let you go first this time. And also, by the way, Carrie's number three, the Green Goblin. Woo-hoo. So, Zia, I'll let you go first. What is it that you like the most about the Green Goblin?
I love the emotional element that's there because it's Harry Osborn's father.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I love that, and I just love his entire story. We're just talking about Willem Dafoe. Mm-hmm. I love him in everything. He is fantastic in the movies. He's also a thorn in Spider-Man's side. He's also the reason that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Gwen Stacy died.
What Anthony was showing while you were talking on YouTube, there's two images. There's one, which is the cover for Amazing Spider-Man 122. At the end of 121, Gwen Stacy dies. And it's because the Green Goblin throws her off of a bridge. Now, tragically, we've talked about this before, Spider-Man is actually the one who kills her because he shoots his web to try and stop her fall, and he snaps her neck, which makes it...
would have
is so gruesome.
It's terrible, but she would have died if
she would have died
also,
anyway.
So it's but kind of like
there's just this like crack, and you're just like, did I just read that? But so then 122 starts the next month, and it doesn't go well for the Green Goblin. Spider-Man does not kill him. What happens is that the Green Goblin tries to kill Spider-Man with his little glider, and Spider-Man has spider sense, so he jumps out of the way, and the Green Goblin does not have the kind of reflexes. So that's how he dies. And look, there's a lot of different ways that Norman Osborn comes back. Harry Osborn is the Green Goblin at one point, whatever. But that's the Norman Osborn Green Goblin story arc. And it ends so tragically. There's these two issues. Gwen Stacy dies. So his girlfriend dies and his nemesis die within the space of 2 months. So those to me are like the two best Spider-Man stories, amongst the best. Anyway, so now we're seeing, once again, we're seeing Kirsten Dunst as MJ and with the Green Goblin. This is very similar to the sequence that is in Amazing Spider-Man 121 where she gets thrown off the bridge. But in Amazing Spider-Man 2 with Gwen Stacy is actually what you see.
That was my favorite part.
She's dressed the same. Like when Emma Stone is dressed like Gwen Stacy in Amazing Spider-Man 121 in that scene when you see her and you're like, oh, this isn't going to go well. But anyway, so I think he was really well done. And you got to remember, we didn't have a lot of good comic book movies at this point. Mm-hmm. And it was so great to see these characters on the screen. I know that people were a little harsh on Tobey Maguire. I liked him at the time. I think he was a good Peter Parker. I think he was
first one.
Yeah, I think he was a good Spider-Man. Definitely not in the third one when he's like emo.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Gosh. The third one is awful. But
definitely the first and probably the second.
The second one is still very good. Yeah. But anyway, that's my favorite. But anyway, so I think that it was just great to see these characters fully realized on the big screen. A character who was not well realized on the big screen was Zia's number one, who is
Venom,
is played by Topher Grace in Spider-Man 3. I like Topher Grace in a lot of things. He was just miscast. That's not his fault.
It's not.
He should not have been Venom in this movie. So hopefully we get a do-over with Venom. But talk about, Zia, why you like Venom so much.
Because he's exactly what a villain should be. He is so freaking creepy, and I love it. Like, his teeth, his tongue, how giant he is, that his powers go, like, they kind of match. They go sort of hand-in-hand with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So I love watching them fight. And I'm really, really excited the more I see about this new movie. The more I'm excited about it because I feel like they really captured the essence of Venom and they got him right. And I'm really looking forward to that.
And what we're seeing right now is not getting Venom right.
No,
yeah. The character's great. When he was first introduced in the comics, I'm like, this is such a crazy idea. Spider-Man's black costume, which was revealed to be a symbiote and alive and all this, turns into this thing, and you're like, well, this is such a crazy idea. I just burned out on them because they used them way too much in the comics, and like Carnage came up right after that, and I'm like, all right, enough already. But I think it'll be great to see a good version of him in a movie. Good version of a character in a movie. I thought it was interesting the choice, not Amy's choice, Vulture for her number one. I thought when I first heard that Vulture was going to be the villain in Spider-Man Homecoming, I'm like, Vulture? But Michael Keaton is so good. He's so great. So talk a little bit about why that was an easy number one for you.
I realize while picking these villains, sometimes all it takes is one really, really, really good scene. I don't think that's the case with Vulture because I think every single one of his scenes is fantastic. But the scene,
my favorite scene in the movie.
In the car when he's honestly like he's not even fully being Vulture. There it is. That scene, there's so much freaking tension between him and Peter. And it's just crazy to see that. And
Just the moment where when he realizes it and he's like, yeah, old Spider-Man.
And
Liz is just on her phone, no idea what's going on. Yep. I said that's great filmmaking. That's not great superhero movie stuff. No, that's just great. And you had a great actor. Mm-hmm. Look, not that Tom Holland's not good, but I mean, Michael Keaton's amazing. So that scene is so good. Mm-hmm. And so his scenes as Vulture are great too. But the fact that he's this guy in this scene, that was such a great reveal. Uh-huh. That makes that movie so good.
Oh yeah.
And that was an excellent choice for number one. I agree. I just couldn't go there myself, but I was glad you did.
They made a better version of From Comic to Film. Yeah. Like if you did the one that's in the comic and the cartoon.
Well, he's really old actually.
And stealing people's youth and like how that works. I don't think it'd quite translate on a live action movie. Not the way we've had them so far. So not on my list, but I liked how they reimagined him, and he was much cooler and creepier, and it worked
as
a real life version.
Well, speaking of your list, Zia, let's round this with a fascinating choice who I don't disagree with at all. It's just not someone I thought of. Your number two was Morbius. Talk about why you like him.
Now, we were talking about villains, and I was like, well, maybe not like he's the best villain, as in a foe, but I thought he was such an interesting character. And I like the vampire concept being a little bit different. Also, it's a really good long arc in the cartoon. I don't know how he is in the comic, but I just remember liking his storyline within the cartoon series.
Yeah, and for those watching on YouTube, I found a little sequence from the Fox animated series, the 1994 animated series. Just a little showdown between Spidey and Morbius, because I thought it was kind of cool looking, yeah.
Yeah, it's a villain you got to actually have conversations with eventually, and he kind of becomes this anti-hero. So it was an interesting development for a villain instead of just, I evil... I destroy.
And didn't we talk about there's a movie being developed of this? I feel like that was something that Anthony, you told us about that, right?
Jared Leto's going to be playing Morbius.
Oh, no. Why did you tell me that?
Yeah.
That's too bad. He was good in Dallas Buyers Club, though.
I think he could pull it off.
Well, so it's an interesting... I think he's a more intriguing villain than some of the other ones where you want to know more about this
You definitely
character.
Want to know more about. And I... really like your first choice, your number one choice, Kraven the Hunter, who is a great character who's very underappreciated. And so I was interested that you chose him. So talk a little bit about what you like about Kraven.
Yeah, this made me think about like what villains stood out. And again, this was another one from the cartoon that stood out to me. And now this is a villain that's like, I'm going to kill you. And I think it was one of the few times where you actually kind of worried for Spider-Man. Like, oh no, this person like wants to destroy you. Not just the, because some of the other villains are so grandiose. This guy seems to have a little bit more laser focus. And I don't know, just something about him stood out because he's not like the other ones.
Right. Well, I mentioned this just a couple weeks ago, but in the comics, there was this just redefinition of the character for a 6-part series called Kraven's Last Hunt, which was amazing. And it ran through all 3 Spider-Man titles at the time. It was written by J.M. DeMatteis, who actually has written episodes of the current Spider-Man series, and drawn by Mike Zeck, who had done Marvel Superhero Secret Wars and the Punisher Limited series. So it's this great series. And speaking of that series, happy birthday to Carrie Lane. I got a collection of Kraven's Last Hunt because I thought
that is awesome.
Some would say that it is the best Spider-Man story I was reading. Yeah, it is a great Spider-Man story. It's from a very interesting time period. It's right before he marries Mary Jane, and that factors into it a little bit. It's a great story.
He looks so good and creepy on the back there.
Yeah, Mike Zeck is a great artist who couldn't. His style didn't lend itself to, you know, being a monthly artist. He would do a lot of miniseries and things. And then, you know, maybe when you're done, you'll let the other girls borrow it. But maybe not. I don't know. Hey, maybe you don't want to share.
It's a special book.
It's a great story.
Can I bring up an honorable mention?
Please do.
I remember this guy. This guy, like, creeped me out for some reason. This is especially not Kraven, actually. I haven't revealed who he is. Sorry. But this man, specifically from the animated series, the 90s series, it was Hydro Man. Mm. You guys ever saw that whole arc?
Chat room brought that up.
Yeah, because like Mary Jane dies in a sense and comes back as like a Hydro person, and I was just like, that really creeped me out as a kid. I don't know.
Yeah, there's characters like, you know, Hydro Man and Sandman
Sandman, they're
two characters that can be done really well, just, you know, aren't always. So I think you're singing Mr. Sandman. Yes, is that what's happening over there? I just wanted to make sure that that you knew that. He's a great call. Really fast, we're going to wrap up in a minute, but I also had an honorable mention, and I sent an image for it. I went with the Hobgoblin, who is really just a reimagining of the Green Goblin.
Right.
But right when I was reading comic books was right after he had been introduced. And he basically finds all of Norman Osborn's old technology. And he's like, oh, great, I'm just going to have a different color mask and all that. But he's a really cool character. And he sort of was just an updated version of the Green Goblin. And there's different incarnations of him. A lot of different, you know, some MacGuffins about who really was the Hobgoblin. So, you know, dig up some Hobgoblin stories. There's a few collections. But I just wanted to give him an honorable mention. Anyway, as always, we went a little long. But when we talk about Spider-Man, it's hard to really wrap it up quickly. But we appreciate everybody in the chat. Are there any one or two final comments that you have in there, Carrie, that you want to share?
Yeah, Billie Jean points out that, yeah, when Hydra Man comes back in the animated series, I liked and says that and then revealed that Mary Jane was a clone.
Yeah, spoilers, don't get me started on the clone storylines.
Yes.
I was talking to Z about that
just before.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah, but a lot of people were agreeing, and thank you, Tony, for bringing up the Hydra Man, because Chad was like, hey, what about that?
Nice. Well, please let us know, for those watching the archive version, go ahead and comment on the YouTube post and then also on iTunes, and you can tweet at all of us. Next week, our topic is going to be your favorite X-Men movie. And I have to actually think about it because I thought I had an answer, and then I'm like, well, I did really like this one, though. But anyway, so we will talk about that next week. No spoilers.
Rewatch it.
But we appreciate everybody who joined us in the chat and just watching and listening. So we will see you next Sunday at 10 Pacific. But until then, I'm Christian Body. You can follow me at ChristianDMZ. And Zia, where do people find you?
You can find me at Zia_Land. It's spelled XIA.
And Amy?
You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ.
Carrie Lane.
Yes, you guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And we were talking about Spider-Man, so I want to give a special shout out and thank you to TV Store Online. They have a lot of really cool geeky tees and... If you're into Spider-Man, they got that and all kinds of stuff. So
and if you're not into Spider-Man, why are you still watching us? Because we've been talking about it for almost a whole hour.
Yes.
And of course, in the booth, at TonyBTony_.
Thank you.
And we will, like I said, we'll see you all next Sunday. Until then, Excelsior!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.